my cage, go ahead and stomp on it. I'm saddened by our country, where we are today, but we've got issues today and problems today, but that's my America. That's what America's all about. And today, tomorrow, we're celebrating the Memorial Day weekend, and we don't want to lose sight of what it's all about. And that's why we brought that to you. Because it really reminds us. I want you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to look at verses 23 through 26. Paul is writing here, and he's telling the Corinthians, he's really rebuking them. They've been misusing the Lord's Supper, abusing the Lord's Supper and things. But Paul gets down here, and he's telling them now what Jesus said. Now, Paul didn't walk with Jesus. Paul was actually against Christianity. And then he got saved. But Jesus did something with Paul that we don't find him doing with anybody else. Jesus schooled Paul. For 3 years after he got saved, he was out in the desert, so to speak. He was alone. He was being schooled. Jesus taught him a lot of things. And he says here, he says, verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." And let's pray. Father, bless the time we're going to spend now, the time we're going to spend in your word and in your will. We do ask that you would speak to hearts once again. Lord, break our hearts that we might be in remembrance. Help us that we should never forget the price that's been paid. Might it always be there in our hearts and our minds, and might we always value what's been purchased. Lord, our country has lost her sense of value. Our country's lost her sense of the price that has been paid. And Lord, in many cases, Christians have lost the sense, the value, the appreciation for the price that was paid. Stir us today. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lest we forget, that's what it's all about this weekend, tomorrow. Memorial Day. A day set aside, lest we forget. Tomorrow we're going to celebrate the Memorial Day holiday. And that is traditionally a day off work, a day of picnics, a day of parades, and for some a day to travel to the beach to celebrate the beginning of summer. However, in all of the activities we engage in on Memorial Day, we must never forget the reason for, the meaning of Memorial Day. Memorial Day has been declared a national holiday in America for the purpose of remembering those who have given of themselves in service to our country and the military. Some have served in peace times, while others served in times of war or conflict. Some served their time without ever being wounded, while multitudes of others came away maimed and disfigured. And still others suffered mortal wounds and died in service to America. Tomorrow's a day set aside to show honor and respect to all who have served our country, and especially to honor those who gave their lives so that we can enjoy the freedoms and the blessings of living in this great old USA. The observance of a Memorial Day is a necessary and proper thing to do. You see, it's very easy to forget the price others have paid in defense of our country. We get so comfortable and used to our blessings and freedoms that we very easily forget that a great price has been paid by others for those freedoms. The propensity to forget the price paid for on our behalf is also found in the spiritual realm. Knowing this, Jesus has established a time of remembrance for believers as well. We read about it in 1 Corinthians. And really, our Memorial Day, I believe, was probably based on what Jesus said way back then, "This do in remembrance of me." He knew the propensity of man to forget. And so he's given us the memorial of the Lord's Supper. We celebrate it occasionally, and we do it in evening service. But see, he didn't want us ever to forget the supreme, the ultimate sacrifice he made of laying down his life so that we could be free. Not the freedoms we enjoy in our country, but free from the bondage of sin, free from an eternity in hell. There on that cross, he demonstrated his great love for us in fulfilling his own words of John 15, verse 13, when he said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Tomorrow be Memorial Day, a day we're called upon to remember the price paid by others and for us. And we must never forget. Some things I want to share with you this morning we must never forget. Number one, we must never forget the price paid for our independence. The founding fathers of our country were farmers, or the framers of our Constitution. They met in Philadelphia in the Continental Congress. And you know, those founding fathers were actually viewed by the King of England as rebels. They were traitors. And we need to never forget those founding fathers, those men who signed that Declaration of Independence, were viewed as disloyal and traitors, and as a result, they paid dearly for their actions. Read about the history of those who signed the Declaration of Independence. Most of them lost all their wealth. Many of them lost their lives and their families because they dared to sign such a document. But that is the document that our wonderful land today is based upon. They paid a high price. And by the way, they signed it knowing that they might well pay that price. They were willing. And then the Continental Army that battled the mighty British Army. Oh my goodness, a David and Goliath fight. They were outmanned. They were outgunned. That little ragtag militia of the colonies took on the strongest army in the world at that time. The hardships were constant. The sacrifices never ending. Yet they fought with every ounce of strength to defeat the king's army. Oh, we know about that winter they spent at Valley Forge. Men without shoes, blood on the snow because they had no shoes. Food scarce. We know about their crossing that Delaware River. You know, the painting kind of explains it to us. Now, we don't really take the seriousness of it. But crossing the Delaware River with the ice floes, et cetera, on Christmas Eve to march to Trenton to fight the battle. Oh, these were the heroes of America. We must never forget these heroes who paid the price for our independence. If it wasn't for them, we'd still be under British rule. We'd still be under the king. But they knew there was a better intent, that God had a different intent for our country. By the way, the framers of our Constitution and the founding fathers of our country were all believers in God Almighty. Yeah. It's a lot different in Washington today, isn't it? We need to never forget the price they paid, how many gave their lives, and what a battle they fought. And then we need to remember the price paid to preserve our nation. Listen, from its very beginning, Satan sought to destroy America. See, he knew America was founded by believers, and America was founded on the Word of God. The framework of her Constitution is based on the Bible. She was founded, and by the way, I don't care what our president says, we still are a Christian nation. We will always be a Christian nation because that's what America is. The Civil War was Satan's attempt to destroy America from within. His tactic is often divide and conquer, and that's what he did in that Civil War conflict. But our men went to war to preserve America so that America would remain one nation under God. That was an awful war. It was actually American against American. In many situations, fathers against sons, brothers against brothers, family against family. But these men went to war because they believed in the preservation of the nation. And they fought. They left their loved ones. They left the comfort of their homes, their businesses, etc., to go to battle. Listen. Nearly 400,000 Union soldiers were killed. That's almost 500,000. And they were all Americans. Dying for a cause. What was the cause? To keep this country one nation under God. Don't ever forget, if it wasn't for them, there would be no United States of America today. And listen, I'm not taking sides, Confederacy, Union. I'm saying there was a war to be fought, and the fighting was to keep this country in one piece, and that great Union army surrendered themselves to that cause and gave themselves to that cause and died on the battlefields. I've been to Gettysburg. I'm a history buff. I love that kind of thing. I remember standing on Cemetery Hill in Gettysburg. I remember going through the museum and seeing some of the weapons that they used and some of the bullets. They actually had, in the museum in Gettysburg, I actually saw they had the back of a heel of a deceased soldier that had a bullet lodged in it. They had bullets that were fused together. They said the fighting was so fierce at Gettysburg that often bullets hit midair and fused together. These men went and fought. And they died. Many were wounded. You know, here's the truth. The statistics tell us more men died of wounds than died of actually being shot initially. The infection rate was so high and the inability to treat wounds. But they lost their lives. Think about it. Who would you die for? What cause would you be willing to lay your life down for? These men did it for America. And then we need to never forget the price paid to defend our freedoms. We had World War I. We had Korea. World War II. Vietnam. Desert Storm. We had all these where our men had to rally, our forces had to rally once again and go to the cause and fight for the cause and put their lives on the line for the cause. World War I, the Kaiser sought to dominate the world. In that war, if my numbers are correct, 120,000 Americans died. 120,000 shed their blood to defeat the Kaiser. World War II came along. Hitler, Tojo, Mussolini, the Great Axis. Japan attacked Pearl Harbor in an unprovoked attack, and 3,000 men lost their lives. As a result, we got into World War II, and for the next 4 years, our soldiers fought in the Pacific, in Africa, in Europe. Over 405,000 Americans died. And you ready for this? And 700,000 were wounded. You see that picture of D-Day? When we think about D-Day and how they were trapped on those beaches and how they fought. They dug in, fought. And in a few days, they were able to push themselves a little bit off the beach. And in a couple of weeks, they took more ground. And then they began to march. The march into Germany. And the final march into Berlin. Oh, the lives that were lost. Then we think of that Korean conflict. I had two cousins who fought in that conflict. One of them was 16 years old. He went and lied about his age so he could go off and fight. Got the bottom of his ear shot off. Yeah. Pork Chop Hill, Korea. The masses of the Chinese coming into that country. Americans had to respond. Vietnam. By the way, in Korea, 38,000 men died. 38,000. 104,000 were wounded. And then many of us lived through the Vietnam era. Charlie said 58,000. Their names are recorded, all the soldiers, the military, down on that Vietnam War Memorial. Some of the fellows I went to high school with died. Some were wounded. Some came back very different than what they went. I worked with a fellow who was in Vietnam. He was out in the jungle patrols. He would have flashbacks. Yeah, there were times when two or three of our co-workers would have to pounce on him and hold him because he'd have a flashback. They came back wounded, maimed, scarred. And what a tragic thing, America. We didn't welcome them. We didn't treat them like heroes. Shame on us. Listen, if our president ever apologized for anything, I would apologize for that. The way our veterans were treated. Shame on us. But listen, I remember those Vietnam days. Every day we'd hear about how many were killed. Different battles. And it was more reality to me then because these were fellows I went to school with. These were people that I knew, my age, dying over there. People say, well, we should have never been in Vietnam. Listen, we saw the insurgence of communism into Vietnam. We were supposed to be stopping that. You know, that's the first war we ever lost. Yeah, that's the first time we ever pulled out without victory. But the men paid the price. Then we remember in 1991, George H. Bush, H.W., and Desert Storm. And we went into Iraq and we attacked a madman over there. I don't know where you are politically on that thing. I was disappointed that we didn't finish the job. But we let him know that he wouldn't run unshackled. He wouldn't run free like he wanted to. He wouldn't take Kuwait. And in that action, 500 were wounded, 400 were killed. And then 2001, 2002, September 11th, 2001. We remember that. How awful that was. Probably every person that was alive at that time in America can tell you where they were and what they were doing when they got the news. It was another Pearl Harbor. America, for the second time, attacked on her own soil. And we responded. The president vowed that we would respond, and we did, and we went into Afghanistan and took care of the Taliban. Say what you will, but the Taliban was toppled in Afghanistan. And then we went into Iraq, and this time we finished the job. Saddam Hussein was captured, executed. Men died. And from then till now, the battle's been on. Listen, don't lose sight of the fact. We are fighting a war. We're over in Afghanistan. We're over in Iraq. And it's a war, and our men are going there, and our men are dying, and our women are dying over there fighting. Why? For us. Wait a minute. They're not here. Yeah, but if we don't beat them there, we're going to have to beat them here. And mark it down. They're coming. They're coming. And we better be on our toes, and we better get strong militarily again like we used to be. Because if we don't fight them there, we're going to fight them here. And every day we hear reports, some of our soldiers die. These roadside bombs, the attacks, and these mad people, just crazy people who strap explosives to themselves and march into a place just to kill our soldiers. But have you noticed our men and women are still going? We still are the mightiest nation in the world. We need to be mightier, but right now we're still the mightiest nation in the world. But you know, there's one more we must not forget. The price that was paid for our salvation. We know that mankind was in need of a Savior. In Romans 5:12, it tells us, sin entered the world by Adam, and in Adam all were dead in trespasses and sins. We're all his descendants, and so Romans 3:23 indicts us all and says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because we're sinners now, there's a penalty. The wages of sin is death. Now, because we're sinners, we will be eternally separated from God. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned, God had to put them out of the garden? He used to come down and fellowship with them. He would fellowship with them no more. Because sin now had separated God and man. Big wall of sin, we're estranged from Him. We cannot be with Him. We're in a bad place. But you know, God said that He would provide a way of salvation. And God did just that. The Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible says, but God commendeth or showeth His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God sent Jesus to be our Savior. God sent His only, sent His only begotten Son. I am sick to death of people quoting that verse and leaving begotten out of it. Jesus is more than just His Son. He is His only begotten Son. And that begotten has to do with a special place that Jesus holds that only He could hold. Not just a son. His only, the one and only begotten Son. And let me just say this to you. If you have a Bible that don't say that God sent His only begotten Son in John 3:16, throw it away and get a real Bible. See, I don't like that. Well, don't come back, I guess. I don't know. I'm just telling you the truth. God sent Jesus to be our Savior, and Jesus came with a purpose. The reason He came was right there, to go to that cross and to pay that sin debt we owe. Jesus came and lived a sinless life, yet He's hung on a cross like a criminal. Why? Because He's paying for our sins. I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. I should have hung and got on that cross in disgrace. But Jesus, God's Son, took my place. Jesus, by His own words, willingly laid down His life so that we could be saved. He said, no man takes my life, but I lay it down for my sheep. You know, as a child, I remember hearing that there was a big controversy between the Roman Catholics and the Jews about who killed Jesus. The fact is, nobody really killed Jesus. He laid down His life for us. And He died in our place. Listen, every one of us deserved that. Every one of us deserves the price to pay. Every one of us deserves, according to the Scriptures, to spend all eternity in the fire of hell. That's what we deserve, because we're sinners. But God loves us. You say, why does He love us? Just because He decided to. It's not anything we do. It's not anything we are. It has nothing to do with us. It has to do with Him. A decision He made before the very foundations of the world that He would love us. And He does. And He proved it by sending Jesus to die for us. He did for us what we do not deserve. He said He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's us. And Jesus suffered and died so we could have eternal life. We think about what He went through. We think about how He allowed men to beat Him and abuse Him. How He allowed men to pull the beard out of His face. How He allowed men to tie Him up and beat Him with that cat of nine tails till the flesh was ripped from His back. How He allowed men to take Him out there to Calvary and pound nails in His hands and in His feet and never one time protested or opposed them. And the whole time, by His own testimony, while all that was going on, He could have called 10,000 angels to deliver Him. Never did. He was doing what had to be done. Listen, we need to value the very sacrifice of Jesus for us. Well, how do I do that? Number one, get saved. See, whether you're saved or not, I don't know if you ever think about this, whether you're saved or not, Jesus died for you. So, wait a minute, I'm not saved. Doesn't matter. The Bible says Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. When He hung up on that cross and He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? We believe it was at that point that God gathered up all the sins of mankind, past, present, future, and put them on Jesus. And Jesus atoned for the sins of mankind. You say, well, then I'm saved. No. Jesus paid the price for you, but you have to accept his payment. See, the payment is only effective if you accept it. I go into a restaurant. I sit down, have a nice meal. And you come along and you pay for my meal. But I don't know. And so when I go to pay for my meal, they say, it's already paid for. And I say, hallelujah. If I would have known that, I'd have ordered bigger. Right? But wait a minute. What if that happened and when I got to the register, I said, I won't accept it. I'll pay my own bill. I said, but you don't understand, it's been paid. No, it hasn't been paid because I won't accept. See, in order for that to be in effect, you have to accept the gift. You know, there was a man in prison one time, and the governor decided to pardon him. So the governor wrote the bill of pardon, and they took it down to the prison house, and they opened the door. This is a true story. And they told the fella, now you're free to go. The governor has pardoned you. And the man said, no, I will not accept the pardon. They didn't know what to do. Wait a minute. The governor has given you a pardon. And he said, no, I won't accept it. I'm not leaving. Now, I don't understand why anybody wouldn't want to leave jail, but he wouldn't. He wouldn't go. They had to take that to the courts. It went to the Supreme Court. You know what they said? They said a pardon is not in effect unless it's accepted. Jesus has purchased the pardon and made it available for every man, woman, and child in this world. It's offered, but it must be accepted. Listen, friend, you're here today. Maybe there's never been a time in your life when you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're not saved. You're not going to go to heaven when you die. Oh, don't judge me. No, I'm not judging you. I'm telling you what the Bible says. I'm not the judge. But the Bible says, and Jesus said, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Except, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Peter said in Acts 4, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John wrote in John 5, verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Listen, friend, there's only one way to be saved from hell, and that's to accept Jesus as your Savior. Now, he did everything that needed to be done for us on Calvary's cross. He paid it all, and he's offering to you, offering to each one of us eternal life. But this life is in his Son. If you've not received Christ, in just a minute we're going to have an invitation. And we invite you to come. You don't have to give a speech. You know, all you have to do is shake my hand. That won't save you. Well, then why am I coming? So that I can put you with a man if you're a man, or a lady if you're a lady, and we'll take this Bible and show you how God says you can be saved. And show you how you can come to Jesus Christ and know him as your Savior. How you can accept what Jesus has done for you. So it's in effect for you. Saved friend of mine, we need never to forget. Lest we forget, we need to remember what others have done for us in dying for our country. Listen, they paid a high price. And they paid it so we could have what we have and do what we do. There is one who paid the supreme sacrifice for us so that we wouldn't have to go to hell and we could have eternal life. Don't ever forget what he did for you. If you're saved, every day you ought to get up and thank God you're saved. Every day you ought to be thankful for the one who was willing to die for you, lest we forget. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a minute. It's been often said, freedom is